A very good morning and wishing you a wonderful Wednesday ahead. Welcome to today's episode. Three things we're talking about today. US inflation comes in hot. JP Morgan earnings. Diamond says consumers are raring to go. Goldman earnings. Strong numbers led by a $3.7 billion equity gain. US stocks fell and bond yields rose Tuesday as investors recoiled from another hot inflation report and earnings out of some big banks. Trading turned volatile in the later half of the session, around the same time treasury yields kicked higher. The S&P 500 and Nasdaq Composite both surrendered early gains, falling into the red alongside the Dow Jones that had already been hampered by falling Boeing shares and a muted reception to the first batch of quarterly reports from the banks. Analysts pointed to new data showing inflation rising at its fastest pace in more than a decade as the key factor behind the pullback in stock and bond prices. Ahead of the opening bell, the Labor Department said June's Consumer Price Index rose by 5.4% from a year ago, the highest 12-month rate since August 2008. The so-called core price index, which excludes the often volatile categories of food and energy, also rose by about 4.5% from a year before. Those inflation fears ended up overtaking Tuesday's trading session in early afternoon, following disappointing demand for an auction of 30-year bonds. Analysts linked the weak appetite to investors' response to the rise in inflation, with some believing yields are lower than they should be based on economic fundamentals. So the yield on the 10-year rose to about 1.41 after the auction, and stocks mostly turned lower. The S&P was down about 0.4, the Dow was down 0.3, and the Nasdaq was also down about 0.4%. Small cap stocks, which tend to be sensitive to talk of rate increases, further fell, shedding nearly 2%. On to the inflation print, and I think important to understand this given how much we are going to be talking about it over the next many months. Prices for used cars and trucks leapt 10.5% from the previous month, driving one third of the rise in the overall index, is what the department said, marking the third straight month of big price increases amid a supply shortage of vehicles. The index of airline fares and apparel also rose sharply in June. So the big price rises came from used cars and trucks, gasoline, fuel oil, utility gas services, and transportation services. We also saw small increases in shelter costs as well as food. Annual inflation measurements are being amplified, obviously, by comparisons with figures from last year during the COVID-19 lockdowns, when prices plummeted because of collapsing demand for many goods and services. This so-called base effect is expected to push up inflation readings in June, dwindling into the fall. So one comparison that you can make is compare it with 2 years ago. And even then, overall prices rose 3% in June. So there is some underlying price pressures in the economy. Much of the increase in June was driven by factors that are likely to subside in coming months, including the semiconductor chip shortage that is reducing the supply of autos and the post-reopening surge in consumer demand. Accelerating prices for new and used cars and gains in prices for lodging and transportation services, which include car and truck rentals, contributed the vast majority of the core CPI increase. But prices of goods and services less directly influenced by these trends are picking up too. For example, rents are rising at a pace slightly faster than before the pandemic. Stripping out those more temporary contributions, the core index nonetheless rose at a pace that would normally be considered relatively healthy, though not enough to signal a worrisome pickup in inflation, is what the economist at Bank of America Global Research mentions. More companies are passing on higher labor and material costs to consumers. Many also are raising prices for the first time in years as demand surges following pandemic-related business transactions. Another factor is consumer expectations for higher inflation, which can affect economic decisions in households, as consumers are more willing to accept higher prices because they expect them to rise. The rate of inflation, the median consumer expects 5 to 10 years from now, hit about 2.8% in June, up slightly from last year, but in line with the average of the last 20 years. This is according to University of Michigan survey of consumers. We have spoken about this in earlier episodes. One is the underlying price pressure because of higher commodity prices. The other is consumer expectations of higher inflation. And if consumers start expecting higher inflation, or if the psychology changes to expecting higher prices going forward, their buying decisions change, and that would lead to a loop or a feedback loop which can keep pushing prices higher for an extended period of time. So that is why I wanted to bring out this consumer expectations of higher inflation angle to the report yesterday. 10 of the 11 major S&P 500 stocks fell. The tech stocks in the index held on to a 0.4% gain as shares of Apple and Microsoft and other notched modest advances. They were more than offset by declines across most of the rest of the market. Financial stocks counted as one of the biggest decliners as investors factored in earnings reports from some big banks. So on that, JP Morgan said second quarter profits surged and consumer spending is returning to pre-pandemic levels, evidence of a strong economic recovery that shows few signs of slowing. The biggest bank in the US posted a profit of about $11.95 billion or $3.78 per share compared to a $4.69 billion or $1.38 per share a year ago. That beat expectations of analysts who had predicted about $3.20 per share. Yet revenue fell 8% to about $30.48 billion from $33.08 billion a year ago. The result of depressed lending margins and lower trading revenue contributed to that. The divergence between profit and revenue is largely due to the extraordinary conditions of the second quarter of 2020, when the pandemic appeared poised to decimate the economy. Then JP Morgan set aside $10.47 billion to prepare for a wave of loan defaults. This quarter, the bank continued to free up pandemic loan loss reserves, releasing another $3 billion and boosting its bottom line. Most of the freed up funds came from the pot of money set aside to cover consumer loan defaults. JP Morgan said its customers are spending more on restaurants and travel, and they have got the cash to do so without taking on more credit card debt. But they are borrowing for big ticket items. Auto loan and mortgage originations were both up sharply. Consumer deposits were also up 19%. Their house value is up, their stock value is up, their incomes are up, their savings are up, and their confidence is up. The pandemic is kind of in the rear view mirror, hopefully, is what the chief executive Jamie Dimon said on a call with analysts on Tuesday. He also added they are raring to go. In JP Morgan's corporate and investment bank, trading revenue was $6.79 billion, down 30% from a blockbuster quarter a year ago, but better than executives had forecast. Investment banking fees rose 25%, stock underwriting revenue rose 9%, debt underwriting rose 26%. Fees from advising on mergers and acquisitions rose a good 52%. JP Morgan's commercial bank posted a $1.42 billion profit, swinging from a loss a year ago. The asset and wealth management unit's profit rose about 74% to $1.15 billion. The shares fell, though, was down 1.5% Tuesday. They are up about 22% this year, hit an all-time high in June. Investors had piled into bank stocks to get exposure to the economic recovery. On to Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs remains on a roll as the firm reported another quarter of blockbuster earnings driven by strength in investment banking and big gains in the company's private equity portfolio. Goldman said Tuesday that it earned $15.02 a share in the second quarter, up from an adjusted $8.76 a share in the year earlier period and well above analyst consensus estimate of about $10.25 a share. Investors were not overly impressed by the profit report, though, probably because much of the earnings beat reflected huge gains in Goldman's $21 billion equity portfolio that investors likely view as unsustainably high. Goldman shares were down about 1.19%. The revenue from the equity portfolio was about $3.7 billion in the second quarter, up from about $924 million in the second quarter of 2020, and was concentrated in the $17 billion of private equity investments held by the firm. On the firm's earnings conference call, CEO David Solomon said he was optimistic about the opportunity set and about the durability of the firm's revenues, noting that Goldman increased its quarterly dividend by 60% to $2 a share. Solomon said that the firm prioritizes a robust dividend as part of capital management. He cautioned that further dividend increases may be more modest. The stock now yields about 2%. That is the update. Stay safe and healthy, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.